I'll start with you, Lisa. Describe how you would describe your leadership styles, and we'll just take it from there.
Leadership or communication?
Let's go with communication.
Okay, communicate. So. I am loud, and I have a lot of words that have to come out regularly, and Ben is really quiet to the point that sometimes I think he's not listening to me. So he's had to kind of come out of his shell and talk more to me. But I've also learned that I can't make assumptions based on his quietness.
Okay. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, I would say that I would describe both of our styles, though, as direct.
Yeah.
One of the things I appreciate about her is that there's no algorithm. She doesn't drop hints for 3 weeks, and I don't have to decipher this complex, you know, system to understand what she's really thinking. She will come out and tell me.
Oh, good. That is a gift. That is a gift.
It's not always a gift. But.
So take me back to like the first 3 years of your marriage, if you can remember there, and compare the first 3 years to now. Mm-hmm. How would you say that generally your ability to give and receive your communication, how has that changed?
I think that, well, heck, I'll go back to dating. We dated mm-hmm. 4 years before we were married. In the first 3 years of our marriage, we didn't have any kids. It's just the two of us. So it was really a 7-year period of us really getting to know each other.
Right.
And I think we were two very different people in the beginning.
Yeah.
Very different people, and obviously trying to figure each other out through that dating process. But we've grown to become more like the same person in a lot of ways now. Mm-hmm. But I think that first 3 years of marriage, we were trying to start new careers at the same mm-hmm. time. We were both also taking a very, very significant step spiritually, mm-hmm. both individually and as a couple. So we were learning to, I think, how to really be Christians because we were so young mm-hmm. that we just haven't had a chance to really, I think, apply mm-hmm. the word. Right? It was more of gaining the intellectual knowledge, and of course, that first 3 years, it's all right. Let's start trying to walk it more. I think our challenges in the first 3 years were more financially related.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think one of those, really, if I had to tell the story, forgive me if I'm kind of going all over here, but I think if I had to tell the story of the 18 years of marriage, it's been one of a lot of trials and tribulations, and where I think that we had a lot of opportunities to grow apart, but we've grown closer together mm-hmm. through it all. So that first 3 years was, looking back on it, it felt complex and difficult.
But it wasn't.
It was really easy. It's just the two of us.
Marriage was easy. It started out, marriage itself was never a struggle for us. And I know a lot of people say it's hard. We knew that we had committed to each other, and we both equally agreed that we had just as much committed to God, and that's where we grew from. We went from that, and that's how we built our marriage. Did things get hard? Oh, yes, they got very, very hard. But yeah, that first 3 years, our relationship was not a problem.
Good.
I think the first learning that we had together, spiritual experience mm-hmm. with God that we had in those first 3 years was I had just become a deacon, I think about two, I was like 27, two, about 2 or 3 months before we got married. And so I had to make that commitment, right, that I'm going to tithe. And then we combine our finances. And, of course, young couple, we had those times where we ran out of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we made that commitment to tithe. And so we had those experiences that you hear a lot of people have, right, when you make a commitment to tithing. It's, all right, there's no money in the bank. Here's a bill. And then you go to the mailbox, and so here's a check for $15 more than you owe on that one because you overpaid on your student loans or something. So we had, I think, probably 3 or 4.
It happened over and over. It was uncanny.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, now we're starting to walk it together. And that's that first experience that kind of galvanized us. And now today, we there's just a litany of kind of spiritual markers over the last 18 years where there's been different types of opportunities to here's this challenge, and now how do you meet it? And I think over and over again, we've met it together. Going back to Lisa's comments of that foundation of I knew who she was spiritually in the beginning, she knew who I was, and that's what it was all built on.
So through the financial part, it sounds like you learned that God can be trusted for his promises.
Absolutely.
His promises are good.
Yeah.
And that he will take care of you when you are faithful to him. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So a lot of people out there are probably thinking, okay, we got two people who both were Christ followers when they got married. You dated, sounds like 4 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, man, that should have been a piece of cake. That should have been pretty easy. But y'all know the real world, and I do too, in that's no guarantee for success. And so back to the communication thing, I know that a huge issue of how well or poorly we communicate as couples has to do with family of origin. Mm-hmm. Because typically we come from different family backgrounds, too, and that shapes the way you communicate. So can you give me, I'll start with you, Lisa, a quick rundown on how you grew up, how you witnessed communication between your parents happening, and then also you.
Well, I grew up, my biological father left when I was a baby, so I had a stepdad starting when I was 6, and I adored my stepdad. And he and my mother, they communicated reasonably well. They would have yelling matches. They would go back and forth between being avid church attendees every time the doors were open to not going for months on end. But I could tell that it was stronger when they were going, stronger when they were plugged into a community, stronger when they were reading their Bible. So I think that set a good and a bad example for me. But we did grow up very differently because I'm an only child. I had stepbrothers, but I'm my mother's only child. And Ben has a brother and sister. And we were just treated, I was spoiled rotten.
Thank you for admitting that.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I didn't have a model to follow. My parents divorced when I was 12, and so I had just a snippet of parents together in the home. And even when they were having problems, I mean, I know my mom feels terrible about it. The day my dad passed away now, but they would sometimes like pass messages through me to one another, like during fights and stuff, something I would never do to my children.
Right.
Because I know how that made me feel, so awkward. But I was starting from scratch. I mean, she's probably had to deal with a lot because I never had a model for a man being a man in the home and being the spiritual leader. I had to learn how, obviously, Christ loves me so I could learn how to love her. And I'm still working on that, right?
He's doing pretty good.
Doing okay.
But that's the transition, right? You're a bachelor, and it's all me. And then it has to be that first level of sacrifice. Okay, now it's her, and I'm number two, and then in come two kids. And so now I'm a little bit further back.
Now you're number four.
Now I'm number four.
Do you have a pet?
Oh,
we
yes.
do.
So we have three pets. We have three pets.
Oh, okay. You're still in the top 10.
That's
a bonus, I guess. We'll look at it that way.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because that is, we typically bring in, I heard a counselor one time say, when you enter a room, they're all coming with you. All of your family is coming with you for good or for bad. And we bring that into a marriage, and now there's two groups that are all being represented, and communication really shows that quickly. How we learn to do conflict or didn't learn it, how we learn to do communication and all too. How did you, in the early days especially, when you're figuring out a little bit about how we're going to do things and all, he's a quiet guy, you just said.
We're going to do things this way.
You misinterpreted a few times, and I can relate to that, but Do you remember consciously saying, I got to get more info out of this guy? How can I make him talk?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that was actually factored
yes.
in. Yes. Did you try any techniques?
Oh, gosh. I'm sure I did. Who knows what? But yes, he's always been just so quiet and kind of reserved. But when you get him going, if it's important to him, he's going to come out and tell you.
Sure.
I did learn that. So you don't have to try too hard if it's something important. And if he says he doesn't care, he doesn't care.
Okay. So you're on the receiving end of her trying to pull more information out of you. Mm-hmm. You have any memories of that? How that made you, what did you think was going on?
Well, as I said, we both have a direct style, but what we communicate is very different, right? She wants to download her entire day with me.
Exactly.
And when I get home from work, what I want to do is disconnect.
Exactly.
And so those times where she's trying to download and I'm trying to disconnect, it just doesn't work. So I think she's probably learned how to pick her battles,
yeah.
right? And when to download on me.
So when you say, how was your day, what would you, I know what you would get, but tell our audience
yeah.
what
well,
you would get.
Well, he'll say, it was fine. It was work. It was work. It was the same. I went to work.
There
That's what
go.
He would say.
I experienced work for the last 8 to 10 hours. I don't want to relive it. It's done.
I was like, you did anything just, happen? Well, yeah. I worked.
You had just spent the commute decompressing.
Exactly.
And now here she is bringing it back up.
That's
the
right.
The comments disappear, just swipe over or up and they'll reappear.
Okay. And so, and then you, though, if you said to her, how's your day?
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't ask.
I don't need
learn
to.
Not
it,
to ask.
It just comes. But what I've had to
have to ask.
What I had to learn to do was stop what I'm doing and just listen, because we honestly we're not perfect. We don't have the perfect marriage, but we do try. But I will say that she knows me, and I know her by now, and she was letting me know if, hey, I'm trying to communicate. And you're not participating.
Right.
So, of course, over time, it's like, all right, I know what she needs to talk right now.
Yeah.
Let me pause the TV, turn it off. Let me put my phone away and just sit and let her down.
Good for you.
Another thing is that I'm a fixer.
Yes.
So when she's airing it all out, another mistake I have made is, okay, well, let me just stop you. This is what I would do in that situation,
yeah.
that one, and that one. And she finally told me, listen, I pretty much know what to do.
Yeah.
I don't need the help. I just want to tell you about it. I just need you to hear.
Exactly. I just need empathy.
Yeah.
You just need to be
and
heard.
And the pause button.
That's right.
Yes, that's all I need out of life.
I am so glad you mentioned that, because a lot of guys' heads are nodding right now, and mine was too, because I'm like you are, and it took me way too long to realize it, but at some point after I had, let me tell you what you ought to do.
Right.
And then only to... You know, it end up in tears with Sherry. I realized, God, what an idiot. I'm not sure that's what she's looking for.
No.
It's, as you said, the empathy
mm-hmm.
and all. So Sherry Schumard is watching, and Joe Rayburn and Ron Powers and my friend Ginger up in the upstate is watching. Thank you guys for tuning in, and Donna and Stephen Ramsey. So, also, don't be hesitant to chime in with some questions. Like last season when we did this, you guys were really good at asking some really good questions or giving some good comments that I could jump in on. Same with this series, is feel free to ask any question that you need to ask there. So let's jump subjects just for a second. You've got two children that are of the age that they've got a lot of activities going on. I know you're in a really, really high-pressure career. I won't steal your thunder, but why don't you tell us what turn your career has taken recently and what that involved. So my point being, how in the world do you get done what you need to do, and how in the world do you choose priorities these days?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I'm an attorney with Leviner Law Firm right here in downtown Somerville. Hi. I do family law, and I love it, and it's wonderful and Christ-centered and kingdom building, and it's a great place to work, and the way that I found it is a God story for another time. It is I went from being a stay-at-home mom since Jackson was a year and a half to being an attorney, and that was a really big leap. So prioritizing time. My job is really flexible. Amanda Leviner is my boss, and she knew when I entered what I needed, and she has given that to me. She has given me so much flexibility. I'm able to take Jackson to appointments. I'm able to get off work and do whatever I need to do with my kids. And awesome. I'm able to go to school stuff and just anything and everything. So it's really been a huge blessing. It still is a time crunch. Everything is a time crunch. But I'm where God intended me to be. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm exactly where He wants me to be right now. I know that more than I've ever known anything in my whole life. Mm. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm helping who I'm supposed to be helping, and I'm there for my kids and my husband too. It's hard, but we're doing it, and it's worthwhile.
Awesome. And I ran into you at the gym, Ben, about a year ago, I think, and you had just gotten into a new position.
Right, and the story there is that it's about 14 months ago, I walked into my boss's office and said, look, I've got to make a change. I don't want to leave the company, but I've got to have a different role. Mm-hmm. There's just too much. It's too much. And thankfully, I'm in a good enough position where I'm working for with a great group of people. We were able to make that happen. That wasn't always the case. There was times where I was in a role and I couldn't get out of it, and it was a drag on the family. I think that now we let the Lord lead us into the careers that we're in and in the companies that we're in, and it's worked out. Mm-hmm. That's important. There were times where I think I made, maybe early on, just said, this is what I want to do. And of course, I've learned how that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And so now, again, we let the Lord, just a lot of prayer and prayerful consideration for her to even start working, period. And then let the Lord lead her to where she is. So that we have good career, good landing spots, I would say. My job was... it still is demanding. There's no doubt about it. But I feel like we've learned teamwork, right? So we have things that are non-negotiable. We're not going to give up. I'd say it probably starts there. Like, what's our foundation?
Right. Mm-hmm.
What are those? And we want to live a balanced life. We want to manage our finances well. We don't want stress from that. So we're intentional about our finances. We've mentioned the spiritual side of things, that foundation has to be there. We won't compromise that. We want to make time for social interactions. There's mm-hmm. time where she needs time with her friends. Mm-hmm. I need time with guys. We need time with friends together. They're mutual friends. We want to make sure that we have time for the kids. Mm-hmm. We don't want any of that. The physical side of things, mm-hmm. You saw me at the gym. Like, I want to make sure that I'm physically fit. I'm able to handle stress, and I'm able to do everything I need to do around the house, right? But mm-hmm. so I want to make sure all that stuff is in line. And if an opportunity comes up, we may say no to it if we feel like everything's going to get out of balance.
Right.
We haven't mentioned our oldest has special needs, and hardest working little guy you'll ever meet.
Oh, yeah.
And AB student, but he probably puts in 14 hours a day,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, he works on homework and makeup work till 8 or 9 o'clock at night every night. Yeah. He's just...
And there's times where we need to be involved with that. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of learned through trial and error, it's better, she's more patient, so it's better for her to help with homework. And she hates cooking, and I like cooking.
I do hate cooking.
So we'll...
Also,
know,
I'm not
I'll,
very good
I'll
at
come
it.
Home. Yeah, we get home, I'll take care of dinner, she'll help with homework. As one example. We know where what we like and what we don't like, and
good
kind of manage it. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So you said something a minute ago that cued me there too. It sounds like you used the word balance, mm-hmm. but you also used the word discipline.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of folks today, when they hear or read that word discipline, they think that means leisure's out the window, friendships all the things I enjoy doing I can't do because I'm supposed to be disciplined. Mm. Speak to me a little bit about that. Has discipline added to your stress level or lack of enjoyment, or has it been the opposite?
Oh, it's the opposite. Yeah, the discipline helps us get everything that we need to get done, and then we don't have to worry about it, and we can do things. We go on an annual trip with our best friends every year that's just mm-hmm. grown-ups. We take our kids on vacation. We go on weekend trips. We have a farm in Georgia that we go and play and hunt and do whatever on. We do fun stuff, and I think the fact that we're so particular about our finances and our time and our energy and taking care of ourselves and taking care of our house frees us up. Yeah. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's just, and we're really disciplined too about like Bible study every night with the kids.
Yeah.
Like every night, we do our own Bible studies first thing in the morning. We'll get up early to do them. It just sets the tone.
It can cause stress though. If I think that's the risk, right? Is there are all these, if you look at it as there's all these boxes I have to check every day mm-hmm. or every week, every month. You have to recognize that you can't, everything can't be perfect all the time.
Right.
And so in a way you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
So I know she wants to check all the boxes and I typically do as well, but sometimes we have to let something go this week. Catch it next time around.
Well, there are seasons,
mm-hmm.
there are cycles, and there are seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard at home before, I have the most understanding wife in the world, but I remember when I first came here, she said, I know what's about to happen, and I will give you 3 months to work as long and as hard as you need to. I'll see you when I see you,
mm-hmm.
but at the end of 3 months, you owe me some time.
That's
and
a
I
good
thought,
deal.
What a great wife I have. What a gift I have.
Right.
And she knew we're heading into one of these seasons. This won't be forever, but he knows mm-hmm. he's just not going to be here much. And she's supportive of that, and that was a great thing. You mentioned the discipline spiritually, too, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, too. First of all, the book of Galatians and other Ephesians basically says that if we honor God with our time and our schedules as good stewards of what we've been given, he redeems our time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the application of that means he gives us a little more insight of how to manage it, but also he renews our energy.
Mm.
I think every minute we spend with the Lord energizes us for when we're not with the Lord. And I think you guys are probably living that.
Mm-hmm.
So take me back to now. You mentioned devotion time with the family.
Mm.
What are y'all doing to keep your batteries charged up on the spiritual side as individuals? Because if we remove that equation, if you'd only do the spiritual with family, you're going to dry up because you're
yeah.
an adult, and you're going to dry up, especially because you're supposed to be the spiritual leader.
Right.
So tell me what y'all are doing to stay close to the Lord individually.
Okay. What works for me personally is I spend about 35, 40 minutes getting to and from work each one way, right? So that's that's over half a day of time, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't listen to music anymore, I've found, but I listen to people like Tony Evans or David Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're going to give you a 20, 25-minute sermon if you know which channels to catch at which time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my commute to and from work. I found that the best quiet time for me is not first thing in the morning. I usually use that to work out and get to the office. If I don't use that time to exercise, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's my lunch time at work.
Okay.
I'll close the door to my office, and that's when I'm going to read the Word. That's when I'm going to pray and you know, I usually take about an hour, and so I'll watch somebody, Tony Evans or
mm-hmm.
somebody like that during my lunch break.
Awesome. So is it safe to say you're pretty energetic and mentally you're pretty much at your as good as you are going to be at lunchtime? Is that a good?
Yeah.
Is that a good
that's
spot?
If I wasn't working out, that's when I would
right.
I do it is in the morning.
Right.
Afternoons, night doesn't work for me. I lose focus.
Right. Good deal. How about you, Lisa?
I am part of a women's Bible study group called D Group. Hey, D Group girls. And I found them through my job as well. So it was another God thing. My boss is the leader of D Group. And so we meet at her house once a week and we do really intense Bible studies. And you have to come. Like, if you don't show up, you have to call and give a good reason why you can't come. You have to memorize scripture every week. You get to dive into things that you never really thought about before. It's amazing. And that's what I do my daily studies on. If we ever have a break in that, I'll read some of the Bible chronologically or something like that. But they have; those women have really kept me connected. They are just an amazing group of women. I'm really blessed. They've been a huge part of my growth.
Awesome. I'd say over the years, that's kind of what we're doing right now. Over the years, though, a small group has been a huge part of our life. I think early on, we were more of let's go to a service, and it's all about the pastor, really. How good?
No offense.
Yeah, thank you.
Now it's a little more.
But it was kind of checking the box. Okay, what can I get out of that?
Sure.
And then let's go about our week. But where we really took a major step, I think, was getting involved in a small group. In Georgia, before we moved here, our church was really small, too small to even have a small group of people our age on a regular basis. Here, that's what plugged us in and got it made us a part of the community and made us home real fast.
Yes.
But she's doing a women's Bible study. You know, there's times where I've done men's Bible studies. We've done Bible studies together as a couple. And there's seasons for that, I think. It just depends on, you know, kind of what's going on at the time, what's available.
Sure. Good. Well, I'm glad to hear you both say that, because that, I think that does become a foundation, and it does become your strength
absolutely.
through the ups and downs of each day and everything. So, what's one thing you could tell our audience a little bit? You've been married 18 years. Some people will see this either right now live or later when they view that are just getting into it, or they're pretty young in their marriage and all. Is there something that comes to mind of like, if I had known in year two what I know now, I would have certainly done or said this differently? Is there anything?
I mean, if I had known how hard it was going to get, I think I would have appreciated year one through three more. I will say, even the hard stuff, you pray through it, you get through it, and you come out much stronger. You're giving God a chance to show out. And sometimes now when things are just overwhelmingly hard, I'm like, God's really about to do something huge. And he does. Yeah. And that's an opportunity that you don't get unless things are hard.
I would say the biggest thing to someone who's getting into marriage is do it together. Like, really, don't try to be two individuals that are walking through life together like roommates. You just found somebody that you're attracted to physically, and want to be around them a lot.
Because I'm lonely.
Trials and tribulations are coming. Everybody's going to experience it. It's so much easier when, number one, you are both Christians. And then you're facing those together.
Yeah.
Do it together. We know couples that get married, and I don't want to offend anyone, but it's okay. Well, here's your checking account. Here's mine. And
right.
We from the get go, it was everything's in the same pot. Here it all is. You know everything. I know everything. And we're just going to do life together.
Yeah. Nobody's hiding anything. There's no secret anything.
Sure.
It just. If it's awful together. And if it's great, it's great together. And that makes it even better.
And talk to each other, for sure.
There you go.
When there's an issue on the table, then it's like, okay, let's talk through this thing. How do we want to approach it? What spiritually, what's our strategy? How do we, raising the kids? Discipline, how do we want to teach our kids spiritually? How do we want to shepherd them? We develop a plan together. You agree, I agree, hash it out. Okay, now let's go do it.
And I think the key, we hash it out. Like, we don't go in agreeing. There are a lot of things that we disagree about. And sometimes we have to respect the other one and find a way to meet in the middle.
There you go.
And just compromise a little.
And at that point, move forward.
Yeah.
Which is a conflict management principle. Mm-hmm. If we can meet in the middle, we both give up a little bit, we'll be okay. And you just hit on earlier, you know, it's from Genesis through the New Testament, that principle of, that's the whole idea, is to come in together as one. You're not losing your identities. You're just consolidating them into one, one flesh.
Yep.
As the Old Testament writer said. And then Jesus reaffirmed that. You know, he said, you should have heard by now. You come together as one.
Right.
And I think that's awesome. You brought it up a minute ago. So before we run out of time completely, what's one of the biggest setbacks, the biggest crisis or challenges that suddenly came into your family or into your marriage that it put both of you back on your heels, maybe. If you don't mind sharing what was it? I think I know what it was. What was it, and how did you, what'd you do over the next 48 hours?
I can tell you the time that I ended up on my knees instantly. Jackson has had just a variety of genetic disorder and autism diagnosis and a lot of stuff. He had surgery with, he had an external fixator on his shin. So it's this big, heavy piece of metal that screws into the bone. It was unpleasant.
After they cut your
shin bone in half
and reset it. And they put screws through it.
And he'd already had body cast twice. It was not a good time. And I was pregnant and very sick my entire pregnancy. So it was a really hard 9 months.
Yeah.
And Parker was born, and she was beautiful and perfect. And she was born early, so Jackson had not had the surgery to have his fixator removed, so he was hobbling around. So she came and was great, and 2 days later, we noticed she was throwing up everything that she ate. And the hospital had already signed her release papers. They had discharged me, and they called me back in the nursery because they're like, we need to check her out if she's really throwing up everything she eats. And when I was back there, they said, do you want to ride in the ambulance with her? And I said, what do you mean? She's been discharged. And they said, no, she's going to MUSC. She has to have surgery. Her esophagus isn't attached to her stomach.
Mm.
So I had just had a C-section, and I had to get in the ambulance with her to ride to MUSC. Ben had to take Jackson. The grandparents were here, thank goodness. But it was an awful, that 48 hours, we went to the hospital. They put all these IVs in her. She had not had any sustenance the whole time she'd been alive. She blew up like a little balloon with all the fluids they were giving her. They put the little mask over her eyes, and it was awful. The
broke
NICU
a rib
was awful.
During the surgery.
They broke a rib. They didn't tell us they were going to do the surgery. They said, go home and go to bed. Impossible. Mm-hmm. But we went home, and we got a call at like 4 a.m. from the surgeon. He'd already done rounds, and they were about to take her to surgery, and we weren't there.
Wow.
So we jumped in the car, and that's when I fell to my knees. Like, I cried and prayed and screamed, and it was awful. She and Jackson ended up having one of their surgeries the same week. Ben had to be with him, and I had to be upstairs with her.
Mm-hmm. Surgery's on the same day.
Yeah.
I fell out. I collapsed. They almost had to put me in the hospital in the NICU.
Yeah.
Just the gravity of all of it. But we, our parents were Christians. Our small group came. People from the church.
Right. Dr. Rand came.
Yeah,
Burke came. Yep.
So we had all of this reinforcement, I guess. And again, we approach that 48 hours the way we have other things, is doing it together, and the Lord put other people around us to support us during that time.
So the value of a foundation that's there when you need it, when all the other props get knocked out from under you and you have zero control over the life of your own newborn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. Well, we're about out of time, and that's a really positive way to end today. And y'all, as you were telling me your story, I was thinking about one of my favorite verses, which I think is good encouragement, and y'all were just sharing with our people, Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There is this righteous God who loves you. He has the best for you. He watches over families. They're not immune from adversity and severe health issues with children that are ongoing, but the Lord your God is still upholding with your righteous right hand, and that goes for you. Hope you can be back with us next week. We'll have another marriage discussion, marriage and family discussion with another couple. So be with us. I'm going to pray for you real quick, and then I hope you have a God-blessed rest of your week. Father, thank you for the Waldens. Thank you for their example and their honesty tonight and their willingness to let us in on a little glimpse of their life and as a family. I thank you for the leadership they provide here, because that influences so many other couples and individuals and children. And so God bless them, bless their home, and continue to use them and their vocations for your kingdom growth. And I pray for everybody viewing tonight, and those who will, would you allow them the awesome blessing of just walking with you the rest of this week? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Good night.
No,
thank y'all.
Thank you.
Awesome. That was awesome.